2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. We'll be taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can text
us at
575-0000.
Not only the assault on the officers, but the officer involved.
We do have something on there. Okay, thank you, Frank, for getting that off. I kind of jumped there. Please don't make me cover news today. This is my day when I get to talk greenhouse. Ton, we want to start out this hour and talk about Christmas ideas. We're getting to that point. People have been shopping for Black Friday, and but you want to do something special this year. Instead of just having your own opinion on wonderful gift ideas, you're going to be doing interviews with the experts, different experts, and over the next few weeks, let's do it during the 10 o'clock hour. For the next few weeks, you're going to share with us an interview that you've done with one of the experts.
Yes, and these are gifts for gardeners that are more meaningful in one way or another than just the Black Friday. I mentioned earlier the Black Friday junk that oftentimes is available. I know you can get great deals on good things too, but this is a little bit more from the heart. And I get tunnel vision on what is important to me. And within the horticulture world, there's so many different areas and so many different gardeners that I thought it would be good to get perspectives from
them. I think that's going to be great. So tell us about the interview.
Today's Michael Karen, who is a little bit more practical like I am, but still he has very different interests than I do, even though we're both horticulturists. Mike's a frequent contributor to the show, and so I thought it'd be good to talk to him about what he feels like makes good gardening gifts.
All right. And Frank, if we could play that now.
So I think a lot of things that pertaining to plant propagation, seed mats, heating mats for seedlings and cuttings. Other things that I think make good gifts are tying tools, what are called tying tools. If you're putting grapes on trellises or you've got climbing vines, even climbing roses, you're making an espalier with apple trees or something, they're really quick and easy tools to tie the branches onto the wires to get your framework, to get your structure going for the year.
So if someone went to something like Amazon, what would they type in for a search to find a tying tool?
Plant tying tool.
What do you do with it?
There are two main types. The most popular types use about a half inch wide plastic ribbon. It's a plastic roll. The tying tool dispenses the ribbon, and then you kind of push it over the stem and the wire, which forms a loop around the plant with the tape. Then when you close the tool, kind of like a pair of scissors, it cuts the plastic tape and staples it at the same time. Therefore, then you kind of have a quick way to connect them to the wire without having to do hand tying knot in a similar material.
So it's a big time saver.
We use them a lot for grape trellising and espalier trellising. And things like climbing roses, especially anything that we're trying to establish on a trellis or wire or anything like that.
On the heat mats that you're using to germinate seed, do you have any recommended sources on those?
I've purchased them from a number of different places and a number of different sizes and price ranges. Commercially, I've used some rubberized heat mats. You can find them sometimes on Amazon, Harris Seeds. They sell them in various sizes. The most economical bang for the buck, they're about 20 inches wide and about 60 inches long, and they'll hold 5 standard size trays.
If you're germinating your own seeds, what are people going to get out of them?
These things typically last a long time. Even the homeowner version that you can get that might only just fit 1 tray or 2 trays, they can actually last a very long time. Commercially, I've used the same mats for about 15 years, and they're still doing just fine. So what they typically get as far as value out of them is, especially if they're combined with a thermostat to regulate the temperature in the soil, is a more uniform germination, faster germination, more uniform and faster rooting if they're using them to stick cuttings. So if they're trying to do houseplant cuttings or even hardwood cuttings where the wood is dormant, I've used these, especially the more commercial grade heat mats that have a little higher wattage, to get the heat on the root zone so that they'll form roots while the top stays dormant, which is kind of what we want for those dormant cuttings. So I've done this a lot with grapes, for example. I wouldn't ever try and root cuttings or even do seeds without using a heat mat personally.
You had one more gift in mind.
Electric pruners. Basically pull the button and it closes the pruners and you make the cut. So these greatly improve the number of cuts that you can make in a day. They greatly reduce hand fatigue. Most of the pruners will go several hours on a charge. Even the smaller handheld ones, you can go 3 or 4 hours of pretty constant use with one charge.
And you've used them in several, or at least a few different crops.
Mainly grapes, fruit trees, they work great. There are also versions of these, especially when you get into some that are a little bit more expensive, that are adaptable to put on a pole, to use on a pole pruner so that you don't even have to use a ladder. You can pull the trigger and away you go. And we found that it reduces hand fatigue tremendously, but also that increases how fast we can get through the crop.
Do you have any suggested places to look for battery-operated hand trimmers and hand pruners?
Locally, we've been able to find them at Stotes Equipment. Otherwise, the only other places I know of are through various online retailers. Commercial quality ones where they will go a long period of time and they have on the charge, and where they have a large capacity to cut. They may even cut up to 1-inch branches. Those are going to run you several hundred dollars. But I have seen and used with great success some much less expensive ones under $100.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Thanks for calling.
Just love those ideas. I don't have a heat mat. As many times as I've started seedlings, I've never used one.
Well, what they do, as Mike mentioned, is that they can speed up germination with warmer soil and make it more consistent, and then keep your plants a little healthier, because if you're germinating when it's too cool, even though the seeds will, they're more susceptible to diseases like damping off.
Right.
So it's one of those things that even if you buy a $15 mat from Home Depot or Walmart or a local hardware store, it really, you know, can make things move more quickly. And like you mentioned with cuttings, whether you're doing succulents or, you know, other things, it can really speed up and improve the percentage of cuttings that will germinate or that will form new roots.
And I love the electric pruners, because when you are out in your yard all day on the weekend and you're not usually out there every day, your hands do get so tired.
They do. And especially if you're getting arthritis or something that you can't really squeeze down hard, these electric pruners are a game changer, because there's newer ones out that only weigh a pound or two that will last a half day, and you can buy a couple of batteries and you can just go in, hit the button, it cuts, let up. And so the only fatigue you're going to get is with your trigger finger pulling the trigger so that the blade clamps down. So they are so nice. And like locally, and I'm not trying to promote any businesses over other, but the only one businesses I know that carry those locally are Stotes Equipment, which I think they have outlets in Riverton and Nephi, but you can also order them off of Amazon and places like Forestry Supply. And the ones Mike has, I think he paid like $150, $200 for, but there's other units that are a little bit more economical for around $100 that he's used that have worked quite well.
I hope my husband's listening. That's what I want for Christmas. Thank you, Ton, for doing those interviews. And again, we'll do that every Saturday at 10 o'clock. We'll have that feature where we're talking to different experts and getting different gift ideas.
Useful things I never would have considered that will make great gifts.
The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton with you this morning. We are taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We're happy to answer your questions. Ton, it's a beautiful day. I don't think most of my soil is frozen. We can still get out and be doing some things in the yard.
We really can. You know, if you have a last-second project and need to put a new tree in, and trees and shrubs are fine, but perennials, you know, even those, if they're, you know, established in a little bit in a bigger pot, are fine. Clean up leaves. You can work the soil if you need to work leaves or compost in. There, with this 50-degree weather, there's still plenty we can be doing in the yard.
Yeah, I know nurseries still have some pansies out there. If you still are late on doing that, can you still plant those this late?
You can. I fear a little bit that if they don't get their roots established,
yeah,
that they might
heave
out of the ground with frost.
So if you already have them and you purchase them, go ahead and do
it. Get them in, or if you put them in protected areas where the soil doesn't freeze, like along a house or something, that would be fine too.
I think it's funny, when you're a gardener, you want to garden year-round, but it's not always possible. But there are some warmer spots in your gardens, too. Like, I have, like, a courtyard that I can be doing some work in right now still.
Yeah. It's, you know, I like to see people making raised beds right now. It's a great time to get the lumber and the parts because it's not in huge demand. So if your courtyard areas, do some landscaping out there, or some hardscapes for future plantings. With this warmer temperature, I mean, I'm out during 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon without a coat on if I'm working a little bit and just perfectly fine.
I told you that I've been keeping an eye on my succulents because I have some there in a pot that I made the fairy garden in, which you can see on our videos if you'd like on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. But I've been waiting because I keep thinking, I know that these succulents are hardy, but they're in a pot. And I don't think they're going to survive the winter, but they still look great.
Some succulents, hens and chicks and sedums, seem to do okay in pots over the winter. They're succulent, and so they don't lose a lot of water to the air. And it just seems like they're a little more adapted to such things. I can't guarantee it, but if there were any plants that were going to overwinter in a larger container, the succulents, especially hens and chicks, sedums, even yucca, would be the ones to do it.
And I think the key is their larger container. You don't want to have just a little pot.
No,
out.
I'm not talking a little 4-inch or gallon, you know, volume size container, but something that's a couple of feet wide and at least a foot deep. A lot of times those won't freeze through and things will overwinter in them, especially if they have a thicker clay or cement side. Now, in your situation, you can't, but for some people that have them, if they're just in bare ground, you can actually get not compost, but mulch, like a bark mulch, and pile it up around the sides to help protect it from freezing, or get some straw bales and put it around the sides to help protect those sidewalls, and they will help. That will help improve things also.
It's just amazing because you think, you know, that they need sunshine and heat, but they can still do pretty well in the cold temperatures.
they really can. And you know, we always talk about bringing planters in during the winter, things like those succulents, juniper trees that if you want outdoor pots that are more tolerant of our winter temperatures and things that are much more likely to survive than many traditional plants.
All right. Spencer is standing by in Springville. Good morning, Spencer. What is your question?
Good morning. Yes. Hi. Appreciate you taking my call. So we just recently built a new house, and we really haven't had the money to be able to afford to put in sod or seed where we want, you know, to have our grass yard. But my worry is weeds have already started coming in, and what's the best way to keep those down until we can afford to put in, you know, new grass or new seed outside of, you know, spraying, or I mean, maybe I have to spray, but for putting down, you know, weed guard.
Well, a weed torch, you know, you're going to be paying $60 or $70 and you'll have to get a propane tank. But in the spring, when the soil, even right now, when the soil's moist and it's cooler, a weed torch will take a lot of those newly germinated weeds right out if they're annuals. And so there's a lot of winter, what we call winter annuals that germinate in the fall or early spring, that you could go out with a weed torch and just knock them down. And that way you haven't applied a chemical if you're trying to avoid that, but you've killed a lot of the weeds out there. So that's one solution. I know that it's a little bit of money up front, but with careful use, sure, they can be great for certain times of the year for chemical-free weed control. I don't want to recommend tilling too much. You can till in the spring and fall, but if you repeatedly do it, you can ruin your soil structure. And so some other things that you could do is just once the weeds are under control, if you have problem areas, maybe some hand pulling or hoeing would be another thing. But I think that the weed torch is going to be your best option for chemical free, and then just a bottle of Roundup or Kills-All to spray. And then people say, oh, you can't plant for the whole year. If you read the label, you've got about a 7 to 14 day wait before you can seed or sod.
Okay. Okay. Excellent. And then where's the best place to get like a weed torch?
A hardware store will have them. One thing of caution with them, of course, you can start fires.
I was going to say, for those of us who have not used a weed torch, maybe we need a little more help on what some of the warnings.
Don't use it when it's 105 degrees and super dry. Don't burn dry weeds with them and move. You know, you always keep it moving. You know, it's fun to burn those weeds to a crisp, but you only need to scorch them. And so you'll see the leaf just all of a sudden changes, has subtle color changes and will wilt a little bit. That's all you need to do. And it's use them on small weeds. Once those weeds are above 3 or 4 inches tall, those weed torches become very impractical. So you don't want to be using them if you have a lot of leaf litter or weed litter on dead weeds and things you're trying to burn out, because that will also cause fires. And so there's some cautions, but if it's bare ground and just newly germinated weeds, they're wonderful.
All right, Spencer, thanks so much for your call this morning. And the number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 575-000.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.